all of a Merry Christmas.
The speaker whom you have just heard was Mr. Ralph A. Hayward, president of the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company. And now we're going to hear a number of selections by the Parchment Choir under the direction of Robert Sanders. The Carol of the Bells by Leonovich. Next, Lullaby on Christmas Eve by Christensen.
Yes.
third number, the parchment choir, under the direction of Robert Sanders, sings, "For unto us a child is born." The parchment choir, we've just heard singing three carols. And now Mr. Southen introduces the speaker.
We feel very fortunate indeed in having with us this afternoon as our guest speaker, one who I feel needs no introduction to, shall I say, a Michigan audience, or perhaps any audience in the United States or Canada. Mr. Guest is a very wise man. He showed his wisdom at the early age of 5. He happened to have been born in the same country that I was. But at the age of 5, he was wise enough to migrate to these United States and, I believe, settled in the city of Detroit, where he has resided ever since. Mr. Guest, as you all know, is a poet, a homely philosopher, whose words are looked for daily in the newspapers by hundreds of thousands of people throughout this country and the United States. You know, I believe that's all the introduction I need to give, Mr. Guest. The rest of the time should be his, because I am sure you are waiting patiently to hear him. Mr. Guest, you may have had larger audiences than this, but you never had a finer audience in your life than this one you have here in Parchment this afternoon. And it gives me a great deal of pleasure, and it's a privilege to introduce you to the folks of Parchment, Mr. Edgar A. Guest.
This thing out just the way I'm going to do it, and then something happens and I don't do it that way at all. So I'm constantly rewriting myself. I get up here, I'm afraid every time I start anyway, because the tongue runs away with the mind so often. I start home and find I'm accused of having said something I didn't intend to say at all. Like the male president of a women's college down east. Dean of women is a woman, of course. President's a man. And this fellow got up one morning and announced to the assembled young women, "Your dean and I have decided to stop necking on the campus." That isn't exactly what he had in mind to tell the girls, either. Another one I loved is a celebrated minister in New York, been ill for a few days. On his recovery, he'd been ill for a couple of weeks, I guess. On his recovery and return to his duties as little secretary, in a burst of enthusiasm, wrote a notice for the bulletin board. It read this way: "God is good. Dr. Sockman is better." Now, that isn't exactly, see, that can be taken in two ways, too. So I'm careful every time I get up. I love Mr. Southam's introduction of me. If he can get you good people to believe that stuff about me, it's all right with me. I mustn't believe it myself. The night after I received 32nd degree in Scottish Rite Masonry, and I went home very proud, and I said, "Mother, gaze on the sublime prince of the royal secret." She said, "Prince, get your coat off, go down to the cell and fix the fire, and come on to bed." So from that day to this, grateful as I am for flattering introductions, all the nice things that are said about me, I let them die in the hall. I don't take them out with me. They wouldn't believe it at home, any of them. I think I'm a different lady guest that goes to bed at night from the one that rose in the morning. Something different has happened to me through the day that has never happened before. I think this life is made up of two parts anyway. The physical side, the necessity to work, provide shelter and food, clothing. But to me, the greater part is that of the spirit, the intangible thing that nobody knows or follows in his wake. No, none of us know just how important each of us is to all come in contact with it. I can't untangle myself from all the friends that have made me what I am. With so much of others in me and so little of me. And so today I come to you in that spirit to talk to you about things that have happened to us. And in the feeling that if they've happened to me, they've happened to you. I've already grown to think of this parchment family, not as individuals at all, but as a great family. Well, I come from what I call a stick-together family. Nowadays, there seem to be two kinds, the stick-together kind and the what I call the loosely thrown-together kind that uses home as a mailing address, a place to go from as soon as possible and come back to as late as possible. And I thought this afternoon as I was listening to the choir, and listening to Mr. Hayward, this bit you weren't going to get, but now are. The stick-together families are happier by far than the brothers and the sisters who take separate highways are. The gladdest people living are the wholesome folk who make a circle at the fireside that no power but death can break, and the finest of conventions ever held beneath the sun are the little family gatherings, and the daily tasks are done. There are rich folk, there are poor folk, who imagine their wives, and are very quick to shatter all the little family ties. Each goes searching after pleasure in his own particular way. Each with strangers likes to wander, each with strangers likes to play. But it's bitterness they harvest, and it's empty joy they find.